What's the adab of good character between a student and the teacher? The first adab starts with the teacher. I believe, personally, when there's a relationship, parents and kids, ruler and ruled, landlord, tenant, boss, employee, teacher, student, that relationship usually goes well if the stronger authority knows what they're doing and does things right. You hardly give a reason for the lower person who is in lower status in the relationship. We're not saying status with Allah. We're saying in the relationship, there's a higher status and a lower status. We're not saying anyone's better. We're saying in this relationship, there's someone in authority and someone not in authority, right? I may have an employee. That employee may turn around and I may rent from him. It's possible. He's an employee in this profession. He's lower on the totem pole, let's say, hypothetically. But he has a little real estate business on the side. I may be his tenant. I may rent a storefront from him. So in that relationship, he's the one in charge. In this relationship, I'm in charge. So that's the first thing, is the teacher to realize these students are an honor from Allah. That Allah is sending people to learn the deen from me. I should be humble. I am the one getting honored by this relationship. They're not honoring me. Allah has honored me through them. If a teacher takes that attitude, pretty much nothing he could do after that is wrong. Because anything he does after that is an accident, right? Or a limitation or something. But once he has that perspective, he would not abuse these students. This is an honor that Allah gave me. And once he treats his students that way, how do you think they're going to treat him? The student now must treat his teacher as the means that Allah chose for you to get near to him. Oh, slave, you want to draw near to me? Go to so-and-so. Allah chose. So each, the teacher and the student, are both viewing each other as chosen from Allah. Allah honored me by making you come and ask me a question in deen. That's a way for me to earn reward and earn a position with Allah. And it's an honor to me, right? Likewise, the student views the teacher, Allah chose this person as my means to draw near to Allah. When both sides are viewing each other like this, they will instinctively treat each other with the best of manners. Minor things, a student should never hear a teacher say something and say, oh, I heard that story before. Not say that. He shouldn't finish his words for him. He shouldn't then compare him to other contemporaries. He shouldn't say, what do you think about this? Oh, because your colleague down the road said that. Because now, what are you doing? A comparison here? Are you doing a comparison? Are you experimenting with us? You take or you don't. You have come with the student should come with an assessment. This person is worthy of taking knowledge from. Okay? Why is he worthy of taking knowledge from? He acts upon it. He speaks well about the Quran. He has teachers. I asked about his teachers. I asked about his background. He is worthy of taking knowledge from. Now I'm going to take knowledge from him. Sheikh should never take joy, personal joy, from his students. In other words, should never sit there enjoying their attention. Should never try to benefit from them. If he asks them to do something, it's a separate contract. He should not ask for favors. They should offer, but he should say no. Don't benefit from your students. If a sheikh comes, hey sheikh, what are you doing? I'm mowing the lawn. I'll mow the lawn for you. You're getting yourself into some hairy situation. Back in the past, fine. In the past, that sheikh is probably your uncle. Probably your friend's uncle. You're all one village in the past. That was fine in the past, right? But these day and age, right, it's very shady territory when you get into that. Get very personal. Now they're serving you as a person. Are you some god or something? No. Teach them. I believe in independence from the student, right? Teach them. That's a relationship. You want your grass cut? Pay him, right? And even that, it's a problem. Now you go to the student and say, hey, you stink at cutting grass. You're fired. Now the student's messed up in the head. Sheikh fired me. So find somebody else even. I personally would be very cautious in all relationships. And always view yourself as the best recipient. I'm the recipient of honor that Allah is letting me teach his servants of Allah, the deen, in whatever you're teaching them. Right? And then hope that you discharge this relationship and the relationship is over someday. And now I can go back to myself and worship Allah by myself. Imagine now, most honored person that you know, says to you, hey, watch out for my baby for a few minutes. This is not something to enjoy, right? Imagine the greatest person in your mind alive today tells you, hey, I need you to watch out. Or forget that. Let's say take care of my money for a few minutes. Here's a bag of gold. You're like, oh my gosh, this is a disaster. This is a disaster. This is not fun, right? This is an amana from my most beloved person that I want him to love me so much. And I love him already, right? You're going to be like counting down the minutes by when he takes his money back. That's an amana. That's how teachers should treat their students. Allah sent this abd to me, maybe to teach him something good. Maybe I want to discharge this relationship, okay, as soon as possible so that Allah is pleased with me. Umar ibn Khattab said, I wish that Allah would take me on the Khilafah. My account, nothing for me, nothing against me. And he expanded the Ummah so much. The Ummah owes him so much, right? He did so much. But his intent was, I hope I have nothing against me. That's it. Even have no thawab, but no sins. No hasanat, no sins. No good deeds, no bad deeds. I think you should do that with your kids. With all relationship Allah sending your way, you have to treat that. Your kids, what do you mean your kids? It's Allah's creation that He caused to come and only used your physical DNA to make their physical body. But the nafs is from Allah, a whole different human being. Right, every single kid that a person has in their family, it's a whole different human being completely. Only thing is that half of your DNA was used to make their physical body, which will turn to dust. And then Allah charges you. You have to feed them. You got to care for them. Give them a good childhood. Educate them in the deen. This is a big, huge amana. You know what else? When you treat kids, it's very easy to bully them around and smack them around. And sometimes they deserve it. Let me rephrase that. Most times they deserve it, right? But what holds you back, imagine in your mind, the resurrection, and the tables are flipped now. You're no longer the superior. You're the same age. You don't have as many good deeds, and he has a lot of good deeds. You would love to say, son, I need some of your good deeds. But now it's not son anymore. Yes, you are father and son, but you're equals now. He owes you nothing. In the day of judgment, nobody owes anybody anything. The obligations are done. He can turn his back on you. So we also have spiritual trainers. It's called a murabbi. We're not talking about that because that's a different level. We're talking about the one who's just teaching a person the deen. Tajweed, aqidah, fiqh. You don't have the right to tell them, just trust me. Because he's there to learn verifiable information. But when you're learning verifiable information of Quran and Hadith, you don't say, trust me. This is the ruling, trust me. No. He is a student of verifiable information. Therefore, he has the right to know what the information is and why is that the case. However, the teacher has the right to say, I will tell you, but not now. When we get to that chapter. Because likewise, the teacher has the right to say when things are going to be said. Many students will say, okay, what's the obligation of Salah? Oh, is this Sunnah or not? Hold on, stop. We'll get to the chapter on Sunnah later. Right? There's obligations of Salah today. Sunnah later. So the teacher must educate on what it is and why it is, but he doesn't have to do it at your timing. He can say, we're going to get to that at the later chapter. Because otherwise, we have chaos in the classroom. The halakha becomes a chaos. It's very important to know the difference between these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Ibrahim asked questions, he answered them. It's not from a type of taqwa to have no knowledge about why I'm doing what I'm doing. Right? That's not what it is.